Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. Welcome to all of you joining us here for the second hour. We sure do appreciate it. This just coming in, President Trump said, I don't know if he tweeted this out or he said it at a little bit of a press gathering, but President Trump just says China's vice premier is coming to the U.S. to make a deal. Trump says China negotiators just informed the White House that they are coming to the U.S. to make a trade deal. We'll see. So they're coming to make a trade deal. So I guess the Friday night memo of 150 pages all marked up as to what they weren't going to do has gone away. And they've said, oh, we shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake. Or, you know, somehow that slipped through the cracks and we didn't know. But whatever the situation was, apparently they are coming to make a deal. They must be looking at their export surplus dwindling down dramatically from 32 billion to 13 billion. And that is a dramatic shift in their surplus. This is just between March and April. I suspect that May will be worse. More and more U.S. companies are positioning themselves not to be dependent upon China. That's a good thing, and I think that is a goal of the U.S., at least this administration. So they are positioning themselves to say, you know what, we are not going to be dependent upon China any longer, and more companies getting to that place. And I gave this example in the first hour, and let me give it again. So 3 years ago today, just from the retail sector I'm talking about, but 3 years ago today, they had 50% of all of the apparel that you and I buy here in the U.S., 50% of the apparel in their stores came from Clooney Footwear, was 50% of it came from China, 50% of it. That was 3 years ago. Just 3 years later today, it's only 15%. So some 3 years ago, they decided that it's getting too expensive and costly to be dealing with China. And they started finding other places. Now, the beauty of this is there's a lot of retailers that already have a foothold in other countries in Asia, Indonesia, Vietnam, Malaysia, other areas, and other retailers. Now, the 15% that is left is going to start moving out, and they're going to be losing that. China maybe hasn't figured that out yet. Maybe they don't care, but they're going to be feeling it. That is for certain. When we look at these export numbers of coming out of China and how they have dwindled as far as apparel goes, their number one export right now is gasoline. This is from a country that has no oil. Think about it. They don't have any oil. They're the number one importer of oil. Their number one export is gasoline, as they are dumping gasoline in countries to try to gain market share. Because President Obama had the brilliant idea after signing the carbon deal in Paris to get our oil off our shores. He believed, apparently, with the rest of the intelligentsia of Hollywood, believed that if the oil was refined somewhere else, making a carbon footprint 5 to 10 times bigger than it would make if it is refined here with our EPA standards, that it would be good for the globe. They just think that, well, that's okay. It can't reach us. I'm serious. I'm not even making a joke. That's how naive they must be. So on a Tuesday, signs a Paris Accord. Thursday, signed a bill. Let's export oil. So we are exporting over 300 100,000 barrels of oil a day to China, that likely to go up. And carbon footprint getting worse. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. So their number one export right now is gasoline. Should be the number one export of America, not of China. We've got plenty of oil. They have no oil. But nonetheless, that's what we have allowed to happen or watched happen. And will likely continue to do that. But right now, President Trump says the White House has been notified. It sounds to me that they've been notified, of course, to quote President Trump, China is, negotiators are just informed they're coming to the U.S. to make a deal on trade. Sounds to me like they say, hey, look, forget about that memo we sent out Friday night. Forget about all these additional tariffs. President Trump now, with that news, is probably going to postpone these additional tariffs for a week anyway. We'll see what happens. But right now, they're saying they're not coming to negotiate. They're finished with it. This is round 11. Sounded to me like they're saying, we're done with the negotiating. We're coming to make a deal. So we're going to come. We're going to sit down. We're going to hammer out. We've got 90% of a deal. We're going to hammer out these issues on the other 10% because, by the way, we're not going to live up to them anyway, so it's irrelevant. We know that. You don't know that. But we're going to try to believe, get you to believe that we are going to live up to it, and they're going to come here to make a deal. It doesn't matter if they live up to it, but they've got this president for another 6 years, and they better understand that if they're not going to live up to it, they better hold off for 6 years before they stop living up to it. So there's another president in the White House. But then that other president is probably going to be Mike Pence. So they could have another 6 years. I know, the liberals listening are trembling. All right, we got our ag report coming up. Commodities, critically important as we move on with the growth of our economy. Craig Haggard, our ag reporter, we are so grateful for him. He's going to give us our ag report. As soon as we get back, we're going to go to phones. All our lines are open. Cue your call up right now. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. The corn was able to stage a bit of a turnaround Tuesday and close higher after Monday's lower close. For the day, we saw funds buying in an estimated 4,000 contracts, as some bargain hunting was obviously going on, fueled in part by Monday's crop progress report, which showed below average corn planting. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading a penny higher. Soybeans were mixed, with the front months recovering and trading a little bit higher and the deferred months unchanged to lower. The soybean market recovery may have been tied to the news that Vice Premier Liu He will still travel to Washington on Thursday and Friday for the trade talks. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures trading up 3 cents. Wheat was generally stronger for the session, but Minneapolis wheat really came flying out of the starting gate in reaction to Monday's poor planted acres report. For the session, Chicago was up a couple, Kansas City was a penny higher, and Minneapolis July futures were up 7.5 cents for the day. Funds bought roughly 2,500 contracts of wheat during yesterday's session. In the overnight trade, Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis are all trading unchanged. Cotton futures lost ground for the second consecutive day, with the July futures down 37 points at the bell to close at 73.18. In the overnight trade, spot futures are down an additional 3 points. Livestock futures were mixed, with cattle a little better and hogs losing ground. For the session, August live cattle were 67.5 cents higher, while August feeder cattle finished the day up $1.25. July lean hogs were down 55 points for the day. Class 3 milk futures gave up a bit of ground yesterday, with the June futures down 7 points to close at 16.55. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading an additional 2 points lower. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were $3.13 lower at $223.87, while selects were $2.15 lower as they settled at $211.83. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $2.78 higher as they settled out the
tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
So every day, Lydia, who is from Virginia, who's 90 years old, listens to the program, and she is a faithful listener. And she called yesterday just to say thank you for all that we do here, and that she has moved all of her investments to Timothy so that she can be biblically responsible. So what a blessing, Lydia. I am so grateful. I hope you're hearing this and listening. But thank you. I'm glad you listen. And what a wonderful thing for you and God to have helped you find the program and to now become biblically responsible. What a blessing that'll be for you. And we're so grateful for your heart and what you have done with that. So that is wonderful. Thank you, Lydia. Sure appreciate your listening. 844-707-5533. Welcome back. We're going to go to phones. Our lines are open, 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do that. Again, 844-707-5533. And also, if you've got some questions and you want to put that up on either on the website where you're watching the program, you're welcome to do that. Or you can put them up on Facebook. If you're watching on Facebook, you can put your comments up there on Facebook. And we will get to those. Okay, let me go to phones and go to Mike. Mike's calling us from Texas. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Thank you for all that you do for us out here.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, good. I wanted to ask you a question about getting into the market. So I'm a member, and in your last conference call, I remember you saying that, you know, you were concerned more about those that are about to get into the market.
Yes.
Now, I really encourage my children to, they're in their mid-20s, married, I really have spoken to them a lot about your ministry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, friends and colleagues, I've just really been trying to spread the word about your ministry and really, really believe in what you're doing. So
thank you.
When you said that, you're welcome. When you said that, I went to my kids. I said, well, maybe not now. So now a good time for them or no?
Yeah, I think for their age group, I think it's fine. I think they get in. Now, of course, they have to understand that, you know, they're getting in, with the exception of the last couple of days, they're getting in, you know, at what was an all-time high. Certainly, they should take advantage, and everybody should try to take advantage of what we're seeing going on for the last couple of days. This is temporary. I don't think it's going to last long. We're already seeing markets go up now this morning on that news that I talked about a few minutes ago, saying that President Trump said that the White House got notice that they were coming to make a deal, not just to negotiate. So that, of course, the markets quickly turned around on that. But aside from that, yeah, I think if you're young, you should be able to get in. So here's my thought process, and let me just kind of go through it with you, Mike, and it might not apply to you. But, you know, so my feeling is, and on my last conference call, there's a lot of people that got out a couple months ago, or not a couple months ago, but December, say, of last year, because they couldn't take it anymore. It was dropping. And I indicated that, man, if you're one of those people, I don't know that now's the right time to be getting in. Because if you got out and you at a low when things tanked, and then you missed all the run-up, Now it's up, you're getting in again, and it's going to go back down again. So my thinking was, if you're that type of person trying to save them from any further losses, afraid that they don't have the right mindset and they're going to jump back out again. And so rather than try to determine who is and isn't that kind of person, I just said, look, if you're out, you might as well stay out now. I am not sure, in all honesty, what exactly we're waiting for, you know, what it's going to look like when we start getting back in. But nonetheless, you might want to wait for a big pullback before you get in. Here's the problem with trying to do that, though. Chances are all those people listening already missed the big pullback because, you know, by the time they get organized to get in, that pullback may be gone and things might be back up again. And if that happens, it's going to be making the case, my case for me, of why you get in and stay in and just learn to kind of deal with the ups and downs. And if you have a short-term time horizon, a few years, then don't get in at all, go into some other things. I looked today at a fund that in my IRA, I park my cash. It is the second one, I think, on my buy list that I use as cash. It's a Ginnie Mae fund, and I just put it there. And I looked at it this morning. I haven't looked at it for a long time. But I placed a trade that I was wondering if it went through or not, and it didn't. And I noticed it that I was on the year, this year, I'm up about 3%. Well, it's not one of those things you expect to be up. And the yield on it now is 2.9%. So it's getting gotten a pretty decent yield too. So, you know, there are some things you can do from a conservative perspective. If you don't want to deal with all the ups and downs and maybe do a little bit better than you might on a CD. So that's what I would say to some people. But look, if you've been out, if you're young, it's irrelevant because if you're young, you've got such a long time horizon that all you should be caring about is accumulating shares of stuff, not really caring about whether it's up or down. Now, you still have to develop that mindset. But that's the mindset you ought to have if you're young. So it's almost any time it's good to go in because to start that process of accumulating shares. If you are nearing retirement and you've managed to preserve some of your principal by getting out, I don't know that I'd want you to jump in here because we're still at the high that we were in the at the end of the first quarter. So we're still at a pretty decent high, and I don't know if this is a good time to get in on the short term. So I try to explain my mindset and what I was trying to get across to people, and I know that that's hard to do sometimes on a conference call or even on the program, but look, if you are like a young person in the sense that I'm getting into the market, maybe for the first time, or I've been out for a while, I'm getting back in. I'm getting into the market, and I've got 10, 11, 12 years before I'm likely to use this money in any way, shape, or form. Then I would say, you know what? Get in, start, maybe get in over the next 3 months. Get in and sit tight but you've got to have the mindset with all this volatility that we are dealing with, so much of it politically driven, that you're not going to care. And if you can do that, then I would say get in.
Yeah, Dan, I was telling my wife yesterday with all that's been going on for the past few days, you know, and yeah, I was like, you know, the Lord hasn't moved me to do anything, and we just need to stay tough, you know, and ride it out. I mean, it's long term, so I'll convey that to my children, and
yeah,
I appreciate your advice on that, and I'll go back to them and say, hey, you know, go ahead and become a partner and go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I think that's good advice.
Okay, Dan. Well, thank you so much for what you do, and God bless you, sir.
Mike, thank you. I sure appreciate your partnership and you spreading the word. We sure do appreciate it. God bless. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, now's a good time to do it. Eric is asking me on our website. He says, hey, Dan, I'm 34. I have a taxable investment account, a Roth, and a Roth for my wife. Any input on which accounts I should have the Timothy funds in, taxable or non-taxable? I would have them in probably the taxable account, the non-IRA account. I'm going to put it that way. So I would have it in the non-IRA account. I think that would probably be a better place for it. I would save the allocation in the non-taxable stuff for things that are probably a little bit more aggressive, because at your age, Eric, I'm going to assume for a moment, you know, you're going to have some more aggressive kinds of investments. With the more aggressive investments, the higher is the opportunity for bigger, larger, more growth. And if you have that opportunity for more growth, that growth could be significant. I would rather it not ever get taxed. So I would probably put that in the Roth, you know, use that Roth for your more aggressive investments. I'm not saying that Timothy, those ETFs don't have opportunities for growth. Certainly they do and will have growth for you because you're young and you're in it for the long term. And you're going to accumulate a lot of shares and they will grow, but they're not probably, I would rather you save your asset allocation model in the Roth for more of the aggressive investments. So hopefully that's helped you. Good stuff. Thank you. That was a great question. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. We're going to get back to your questions as soon as we get off this break. By the way, the markets. Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. If you're watching live on our website, if you're a partner, you can put your question up there. We'll answer those as well. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, that would be great. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Angie. Angie's calling us from Indiana. Hi, Angie.
Hi, how you doing, Dan?
Good.
Have a couple of questions for you, Dan. Been wanting to call you for a long time. I have a 401k that I inherited. Well, I didn't inherit it. I got it through a divorce settlement.
Okay.
And it still actually sits at that company that my ex-husband had worked for, and it's actually set there for a lot of years. I was just wanting to know what you think I should do with that.
You got to get it out of there, Angie, because I mean, I don't know anything about the company. I don't know where it is or anything like that. That's fine, but I'm not saying it's bad a situation there. What I'm saying is you don't have options, and you need to have lots of options. First of all, you need to have the option to be biblically responsible. You have to have the option. If you want to go in CDs, you can. If you want to go in bonds or stocks or mutual funds, whatever you want to do, I want you to have the entire world of options out there to you and not be locked in to a menu of funds for a company that you know nothing about or you don't work at. So I think you need to move it. The way you would move it is you would open up an account somewhere else at a brokerage account, say, anywhere, it doesn't matter, Fidelity, E-Trade, TD Ameritrade, you know the deal. I ring off the same names all the time. It's just because of the first ones that come to the top of my head. But, you know, they're all good. Any one of those discount brokers. And you're going to open up an IRA. Now, you have to roll that into a traditional IRA probably, because it's probably a traditional 401k. So you need to roll that over into a traditional IRA that is, you know, so you don't have to pay tax on that money. So you're going to roll. You don't have to do anything. The company, wherever you set this IRA account up, is going to have you fill out a transfer form. You can do it online. You'll sign it. They will handle the transfer. So the money that is in this 401k is just going to, I don't know, in a few weeks, it'll show up in your new account. So you'll have it in there. Then you can begin to decide how you want to allocate it and where you want to go with it.
Okay, because that's what I do now, you know, with that. You know, it's in, it's most of it I have in money market, and I have a little bit in the bonds and a little bit in stock. You know, I kind of wanted to keep it kind of safe, so that's what I've always did with it over the years.
Yeah,
so
and you'll be able to continue to do that.
Okay, so yep. You say I need to transfer that to an IRA.
Yes,
right?
Transfer it to an IRA, a traditional okay. IRA. And in okay. that brokerage account IRA, wherever you do that, you can even do CDs.
Okay.
So they it's kind of nice because they will offer their FDIC insured CDs. Now you live in Indiana and it might be a bank in Denver, Colorado, or you know, somewhere else in the country, but they shop around and find good CD rates and then they offer those to you. And you can even do that if you want. Yep.
Okay. Then my other question that I had for you, I have a life insurance policy. I've had it since I was 29 years old. Well, every year this life insurance policy, the price of it goes up every year. Okay. I just want to know what I should do with that. Should I keep it or get rid of it?
Well, do you need, is it accumulating cash value?
No. Well, it's called Universal Life. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if it gets any money, you know, in there, I don't get that. All I would get would be the lump sum that the policy is worth. If it's worth, you know, $100,000 and it's got $500 in there, I would not get that $500.
Okay.
Am I making sense here?
I guess. I'm just trying to – how long have you had it?
Since I was 29 years old.
So what – so there's – there's no value, contract value to it?
No. All this worth is just what the policy is worth.
What the death benefit is, you mean?
It's worth $100,000 is what it's worth.
And it,
life.
Okay, and it's never going to go up. That's it?
No, that's it. And they told me, because I called there, they have like a universal A and B, and I'm in the B, so if I've got, you know, money accumulated in there, let's say $1,000, if something would happen to me, that company gets that $1,000. My beneficiaries would not get that.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, so I think you ought to get rid of it. There's no – I would rather that money go into your IRA account or go into a savings account than go into – if you don't have someone, Angie – that is going to suffer a financial hardship when the Lord calls you home, then I wouldn't be paying for that.
Okay. I just wanted to check with you and see what you thought.
Yeah.
Because I always leave it to my children. Of course, my children are all grown, and they're on their own. But, you know, being a mother, I always just kind of wanted to leave them a little something, you know.
Well, you can leave them the savings that you're building up over the years.
Yes.
You know, as you're not paying for that, and you know, if you're in good health, it may be more than $100,000.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would rather see you do that. I still think it's a better thing to do.
A better thing to do.
Yeah.
So maybe like with this traditional IRA that you're telling me to open up, put that money into that instead of into this life insurance policy.
Do you work, Angie?
I do not.
You don't? Okay.
No.
Yeah. So you have to have earned income. To do that. So no, just put it into a savings account that you might have that you can have another brokerage account similar at the same place you have the IRA, and you can put that in that savings there. And so you have some more options. You can do that if you want, or you can just put it into a bank. I think, you know, one thing that I would say to everybody on their savings is Christian Community Credit Union has a 4% CD for $10,000. And so I would tell everybody, at least do that, you know, when you get a chance, because you can't pass up the 4%. But they also have CDs that you can contribute to on a regular basis that accumulate, and that might be something you could do as well.
Okay, and what was that again, Christian?
Yeah,
what?
So if you go to the website, my website, financialissues.org, you can just click on, you'll see the banners that kind of circulate there. You can click on the Christian Community Credit Union.
Okay.
And it's a great it's a great organization. There is a credit union near you that you can use if you want to. So all credit unions are members of a co-op of all other credit unions. So you can make deposits and do banking just, you know, at a credit union near you, I'm sure. But it's a great, great organization.
Okay. All right. Well, Dan, I sure appreciate your time, and I thank you so very much. And you have a wonderful and blessed day.
Thank you, Angie. I appreciate
thank
it. I'm
you
glad,
so
you,
much.
Glad
thank
you called. God bless. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Ashlyn. Ashlyn's calling us from Texas. Hi, Ashlyn.
Hey, Dan. This is Ashlyn. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I think I spoke to you last time, but it was great feedback from you. So I had a couple of questions which I forgot to ask you.
Okay.
I did trading a couple of years back, and I ended up in losses because of my lack of knowledge. Probably it was a huge loss for me, around 50 grand. From past 2 years, I was able to save around 50 grand again. So I'm just thinking the safest way that I can get more interest on those, whether it might, I was thinking about CD. I also heard that you said American Society from your financialissues.org. But is there any way that I can get more returns in a safer way?
Well, I mean, it's hard. The more return that you try to get, the more risk you have to take. So, unfortunately, without risk, you're kind of locked in to a couple of things. I mean, there are some bond funds out there, like a government bond funds, like a Ginny Mae fund, maybe even an inflation-protected bond fund. There are some short-term bond funds that'll get you a little bit more than you would get in a savings, but the principal may move down a little bit, may go up a little bit. There's a little volatility with it, but not much. So that would be one option. Of course, CDs are another option. So you can get, you know, maybe 2.25% by going out a little bit longer on CDs, which I don't have a problem with right now, because we're in a falling interest rate environment, probably not a rising. So a two-and-a-half-year CD wouldn't be a bad idea. But other than that, it's pretty hard to go anywhere else.
Okay. So I heard that when you were talking to the other person just now, you said something about American Society, where the CD interest rate is around 4%.
Yeah, no, that was that was Christian Community Credit Union. Christian Community Credit Union, yes. And you can go there through the website. If you go to my website, you can find it. Or I guess you could Google Christian Community Credit Union and find it. So for new partners, they have a 4% CD for up to $10,000. So that's something you should definitely do with at least $10,000.
And that's something FDIC insured.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. 33. Let's see what oil is doing. I know Ian's got the EIN numbers, EIA numbers. What have you got, Ian?
So far we have U.S. The crude oil inventories down by 4 million barrels.
Ooh.
We have gasoline inventories down by 600,000 barrels. and distilled inventories are down by 200,000. So all of them decreased at least a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, that gives us some insight. Thanks, Ian. So what we have, folks, when we see that is we're looking at inventories that are dropping. That's a pretty significant drop, by the way. You know, we're looking at it being down 4 million barrels. So we're already concerned, the oil market's already concerned about demand because of what's going on in Iran, right? So we see what's going on in Iran and we're concerned, sanctions and such. The upside is that demand's going to pick up from other areas, but the global demand is going to be, the global oil is going to be down. And that's a little bit of a concern. So we probably should be somewhat concerned about that. And I would be concerned and want us to take a look at that. So I think we'll have to wait and see how all this shakes out, but somebody will see. I don't know if there's any rig count numbers. We won't know until Monday. We'll see what the rig count numbers have done this week. They have been coming up a little bit. As you know, the rig count numbers don't move dramatically. They move rather slowly. They just move little by little. But we'll see if they're coming up next week for this week. We'll see if they come up. That will help, obviously, increase production. The upside to this, too, or the downside to this, too, is not only oil supplies down, but inventories of gasoline are down, which means, and we've got to draw more of the crude oil to get into the refineries to lift our inventories up for gasoline, which is going to draw it down and increase demand a little bit higher. So we'll watch that. This is that balancing act I talk about all the time and how difficult it is to do that balancing act. So anyway, we'll watch that very closely. We'll see how it goes. Let me go back to phones, go to Brian. Brian's calling us from Illinois. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Dan, got three questions. First one is, should everybody have long-term care insurance? I'm 60. And then what should you look for in long-term care insurance, and when should you buy it?
Well, good question, Brian. Yeah, I would say long-term care insurance is great. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not for everybody. It depends on a number of different circumstances. You should buy it now, but anybody from 55 to 60 is a great time to be buying long-term insurance because if you're in good health. So that's the best time, probably get you the best rates. One of the things you should look at is the long-term care insurance, is it going to go up in price? Chances are it is now. So you want to watch that. You need to have an inflation protection rider on that. So let's say you're buying a $200 a day benefit. Well, you might not need it for 20 years. And obviously the cost is going to be a lot higher than $200 a day in 20 years. So if you don't have that inflation protecting rider on her, chances are the long-term care insurance is only going to help you a little bit. It's not going to help you a great deal. So that's a concern. The other thing that you should have is have a benefit that is going to be usable both if you stay at home or have to be admitted into a long-term care situation. So you want to be able to use it at home. If it'll, you know, you wanted to make sure it allows you to pay, it's going to pay you if you use it at home, if you want to try to stay at home. The other major thing is there's a lot of companies out there now that will, are like in a product that will accumulate money, or you can put a set amount of money in there to grow, and that amount of money will be held for your long-term care insurance. The upside to that is that if you don't use any of it, it goes to your heirs. So you're taking that risk of, you know, well, I may never need this, and I've paid into this for a long time, and you're getting that risk that taking care of that risk in that that money's still going to go to your heirs, and that's a good thing. So that's another thing you want to look at from a product perspective. It's important to look for that. So I would just take a look at those things, make sure you buy it right. The other thing is that if you are a person that currently has very little means, maybe you don't have a lot of savings, you don't have an investment account, you don't have a big 401k and all those kinds of things, you don't have much money, and chances are you're going to probably be in a situation where you'll spend your money down and you'll go on Medicaid. And that's fine if you go on Medicaid. But if you are doing that and it looks like that is the case, then I don't know that paying for long-term care insurance is a good idea. First of all, you already have limited finances. It's expensive. It's going to go up in cost as the years go on. Do you really want to put money into it? I would say no, because most long-term and care insurance isn't going to cover your total care anyway. It's only going to cover a, hopefully, a large percentage of it. So that other percentage is still going to have to be made up by the rest of your finances until you spend that down, and you're going to end up on Medicare anyway. So Medicaid anyway. So I don't know that I'd be concerned about it. The other person is the person that has a lot of, maybe you have a large 401k, you've got a retirement plan, you've got monies coming in on a pension, you have Social Security, and you have a good income portfolio with that IRA, and that's generating income, and maybe that income alone combined, remember, now you have no expenses. You don't have a house, you don't have an electric bill, you don't have any of those expenses, and maybe this money is going to generate enough income to support you in a skilled nursing facility if that were to happen. And if that's the case, you don't need it either. Maybe you could even dip into principal every once in a while and still be okay. And that would be fine, and I wouldn't spend a lot of money on long-term care. So that's how you're going to look at it. Obviously, the better health you're in, the younger you are that you buy it, the cheaper it's going to be. But remember, the costs are going to go up. My biggest concern with long-term care insurance is to you're going to get to an age where you say, you know what, I can't afford this anymore, and you're going to drop it. You've been paying into it for 20 years, and you never get to use it. One of the things that is a great, great thing to consider, not always possible, but to find out what your premium's going to be and put enough money in a charitable gift annuity to pay that premium every month. If you do that, then you have that premium being paid. If you ever want to stop paying it, the premium, you're still going to have that income for the rest of your life. And at the end of your life, that remainder mint, that money is going to go to do the Lord's work. So that might be a better way to do it. So we used to do it all the time 10 years ago. It's a little bit harder to do now because the income on those products, the charitable gift annuity, is still far better than anything you would get in a CD, but not as good as it was some years ago in order to pay that premium, not to mention long-term care insurance premiums have gone up dramatically. So hopefully that's helped you a little bit, Brian.
Okay, where's the break-off point for the income, how much income that you need in order to pay for long-term care? I know that it can get to rates of about $70,000, $80,000 a year per person.
Yeah, it depends on where you live, but that's about your break point ought to be about $60,000, give or take a year.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Brian. Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. We've got another hour left, folks. So now's the time to queue your call up. get those questions up. We're going to hit those Facebook questions, those questions from our website that you're putting up there. We'll get to those as well. Folks, I want to remind you, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock Eastern time, 9 o'clock Central time, 8 o'clock Mountain time, 7 o'clock Pacific time, we are doing a town hall meeting live. It's going to go hour and a half, 2 hours. We're going to take your questions. I'm going to go through a number of things that I want you to learn, understand, and we'll do it just like a normal town hall meeting, and you'll be able to sit at your kitchen table and get a look at that town hall meeting. So hopefully you will do that. We sure would appreciate you checking in. Register for that if you would, so we know how many. We already have hundreds of people registered, so that's going to pick up, but we want to make sure that you register so that we can check out the technical side of things, make sure everything is good. 844-707-5533. I know a lot of you've got to leave us now. If you do, I hope you have a wonderful day. Remember, all that we have is His. Let's be found a good and faithful steward. Another hour of financial issues coming up. But if you got to leave us, have a great day. God bless.